Hi there, and welcome to session 25 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we're going to talk about common chicken illnesses that you might come across in your coop. Although there are many diseases your chickens can develop or contract, we're only going to cover the most common illnesses you need to know about, their symptoms, and how to treat them. We're also going to cover some illnesses that you guys commonly do ask me about. By the end of this episode, you're going to know how to recognize and deal with most common illnesses that you might come across in your coop. As a reminder, you can get this episode's show notes at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast25. That's podcast with the numbers 2 and 5. So stay with me. Now, before we get started, I need to make a legal disclaimer, which is that the information in this podcast is for educational purposes only. I'm not a licensed vet, and the information in this podcast is reflective of my experience only. As always, use your best judgment and seek a qualified vet's advice if you're concerned that your chicken might be sick. Now, this podcast is sponsored by ManaPro Poultry, and I'm happy to partner with them to bring you this podcast because I love their feed. They have a full array of organic, non-GMO feed for every stage of your chicken's life, and this is huge. New this year is their organic grower crumbles. This is a brand I trust, and that's why I'm happy to tell you about them. You might notice that in every episode, I discuss how important diet is, and that's because it dictates not just how healthy your hens are, but how healthy their eggs are for you. Now, if you buy chicks at the feed store this spring, and you're not sure which feed to buy for them, go with ManaPro's non-GMO organic crumbles, and you can be sure you're headed in the right direction to raising a happy, healthy flock. Now, if you go to the ManaPro Poultry Facebook page, and I'll put a link to that page in the show notes, you can register to get a Chick Days coupon book, which they'll send to you. There's $32 in coupons in the book, and you'll also find coupons for their organic crumbles, as well as their other products, such as hen treats and their mealworms, which I especially love personally. The mealworms are very reasonably priced for the amount that you get, and you can mix them with the organic crumbles for an additional protein boost, which is so important for your chickens. You can visit ManaPro to find out more about their line of organic, non-GMO feeds at manapro.com. Now, let's get on to common diseases that you should know about. Now, first on our list is egg binding. So what is this? Egg binding is when your hen, for a variety of reasons, can't pass the egg she's trying to lay, and it gets stuck in her oviduct. One thing that you should keep in mind is that egg binding can be a very serious problem, and it should be treated like an emergency. It does have the capability to be fatal to your hen. Reasons egg binding can happen can be related to infections, some sort of trauma to the reproductive tract, or excessive egg laying, for example with birds like production reds that are bred for a high rate of egg production. It can also be caused by nutritional problems such as chickens that just don't get enough calcium. Other reasons for egg binding include obesity and an egg that for whatever reason is just too soft to pass. This is also another calcium issue. And it's also possible that your hen could have some sort of internal structure that makes her more prone to egg binding. For example, a cloaca that's too small to actually pass the egg efficiently. Okay, so those are some reasons why egg binding can happen. What are some of the symptoms, right? One of the first things that you might notice is that your hen is squatting a lot with her wings dropped towards the ground. Other signs are like a fluffed appearance, straining, labored breathing, or a hen that's not pooping, or a hen that doesn't want to eat. If you palpate your hen, you know, if you feel around her body and you feel an egg-shaped lump near her vent, that's a good sign that your hen is actually egg-bound. If you want to know for sure, or if you suspect egg binding but don't really have any definitive proof, then you can take your hen to a qualified vet for an x-ray. And really, any vet out there can actually do an x-ray for your chicken, as long as your chicken is in good enough health to actually handle having an x-ray done. If the egg has formed correctly and it's fully calcified, then you'll likely be able to see the egg on an x-ray. That is, if your hen is actually egg-bound. So how do you treat egg binding? You will want to soak your hen in a tub of warm water with Epsom salts in it. soaked the lower part of her body, including her vent, in the Epsom salt bath for about 20 minutes, massaging her abdomen to stimulate the egg to move. After soaking her, place her in a warm, quiet area to give her time to try to lay the egg. Repeat this every hour until she lays the egg, and be sure to offer her electrolytes in her water to help keep her hydrated. This is very important because as she is trying to pass the egg, if she's in pain, she's going to naturally become dehydrated just from stress. So make sure you give her electrolytes, or at least offer her electrolytes to keep her hydrated. Now, one thing that you can do, if you prefer, is you can take your hen to the vet to see if the egg can be crushed and removed. Now, the thing about this is it can solve egg binding, but it can also result in an infection. So my recommendation is to let a qualified vet do this. If you can see the egg, if you can attempt to remove it yourself, but do consult with a vet first and see what antibiotics you should put her on after you break the egg in order to prevent infection. If you can't see the egg, though, don't attempt this. All right, that's very, very important. Don't try to break the egg if you can't see it. You really shouldn't try and break the egg at all, but if you can't see it, don't try, because it's just going to be really bad. So next on our list is bumblefoot. So what is this disease? Bumblefoot's actually a bacterial infection in your chicken's foot. So it's not a disease, but I thought it was important to discuss in this podcast anyways. You'll know if your chicken has bumblefoot if you look at the bottom of its feet and you see a large lump. Bumblefoot is also called ulcerative pododermatitis, that's a pretty big word, and it's a bacterial infection and inflammatory reaction that is caused by the Staphylococcus bacteria. So effectively, it's a staph infection. It happens when your chicken gets a cut, and we're talking like even a microscopic cut, from walking on hard or sharp surfaces. It's called bumblefoot because the infection creates quote-unquote bumbles, these are the lumps, and because of the swelling on the foot pad. If you take your chicken to the vet, he or she might also prescribe oral antibiotics, but it's really up to your vet to decide if the situation merits it. Bumblefoot is actually easily treated, and it involves opening the infected area to allow the pus to drain, then soaking it in an Epsom salt bath. After that, you can apply your favorite topical antibacterial ointment and then dress it with clean bandages. Now, something I see online are recommendations to perform the surgery to treat bumblefoot yourself, and I really would encourage you, if possible, to have the vet perform the surgery instead. Even if your vet is not a poultry vet, they're still in a better position than either you or I to properly provide a local anesthetic to the affected area and then remove the infection. They have the training to do this. Even if they're not an avian vet, they still have the training that they got in vet school to do this better than either you or I. Personally, unless the situation is absolutely dire, I prefer to not perform surgeries myself at home, and it's largely because I don't have the proper tools to anesthetize the area, and I'm not comfortable causing more pain in my chickens than I have to. Now, next on our list is Marek's, and you may or may not come across Marek's in your chicken keeping life. It's something that they can get. It's really not as common as some of the other things that we're going to find on this list, but because it is something that comes up a lot as questions of does my chicken have Marek's or not, we're going to just discuss it here today, okay? So now, according to the Merck Veterinary Manual, Marek's disease is actually a type of avian cancer. Marek's largely affects chickens between 12 to 25 weeks of age, although chickens outside the age range might also be affected. Tumors in the nerves are what actually cause the paralysis you see in Marek's. One of the classic symptoms of Marek's is paralysis. You'll see videos of hens flopping around. That's because of tumors that are in the nerves, okay? While tumors in your chicken's eyes are what cause the irregularly shaped pupils and blindness that are some of the classic symptoms also of Marek's. So as we said, the easiest symptoms of Marek's to recognize include paralysis, such as flopping around or being unable to stand, and odd-shaped pupils in their eyes and blindness. These tumors can also be in the livers, kidneys, pancreas, stomach, lungs, and pretty much anywhere else you can imagine. Now, other signs of Marek's disease are weak or labored breathing, enlarged feather follicles, and then as the disease progresses, your chicken might have pale, scaly combs, as well as greenish diarrhea. So how do chickens get Marek's disease? It's transmitted by air between chickens, and it shows up in dander, dust, feces, and saliva. Infected birds that live will also have the virus in their blood for life, and they can infect other chickens. There is no treatment for Marex, although chicks can be vaccinated at the hatchery. It's important to note that the vaccination will prevent tumors from forming, but it does not prevent infections, nor does it prevent other birds from getting the disease. So that's important to note. So next on our list is coccidiosis, and this is a parasitic disease of the intestinal tract. So your chicken will get parasites in its intestinal tract, and it's caused by protozoa that naturally occur in dirt. There's a few different parasites that can cause a problem in your birds, but the bottom line is that this disease spreads from chicken to chicken through infected feces or ingestion of infected tissue, okay? Your chicken might have coccidiosis and you may never know it, but the most easily recognized sign of coccidiosis is bloody droppings. So if the manure turns bloody, that's a pretty clear indicator. So to treat coccidiosis, you can provide medication, clean your coop so that there's no droppings in it anymore and sanitizing it, offering your flock vitamins and a probiotic to reestablish good gut flora as they recover. Now there are a number of medications out there. I would recommend that you talk to a vet about the best one or do some research online for the best one, but an anticoccidial medication is probably your best bet at getting rid of it. Just remember that you're going to have a withdrawal period with any medication that you do give them in all likelihood, depending on the medication you give them. But my guess is you're probably going to have a withdrawal period, and you should look on the bottle of the medication to tell you when that withdrawal period will be over. Now, one way to prevent coccidiosis is to offer chicks a medicated chick starter, which will help them build up a resistance to these parasites. So next, we're going to look at a few diseases of the crop. First, if you don't know what the crop is, it's an organ, it's part of the esophagus, in your hen's body that collects food that your hen eats during the day. The crop is like a pocket that stretches as your hen eats, so if you pick up a hen and feel a lump on the right side of her body, that's probably the crop that you're feeling, and I'm assuming that she's been eating all day when you go to feel it. A healthy crop will be full at night, but empty in the morning, and that's a good indicator that your hen's digestive system is working well. If it's empty all the time, then she's not eating, and if it's full all the time, then you might have a problem. So first, let's talk about sauerkraut. Sauerkraut happens when a fungus infects your hen's crop or your rooster's crop and causes the natural environment of the organ to go askew. Usually your hen has a good immune system that will help her fight off infections. But obviously that doesn't mean she's immune, so as your hen's crop becomes infected, the lining thickens because of this fungal infection, and it prevents the crop from doing its job and moving food into your chicken's stomach. The most telling symptom of sauerkraut is a horrible smell, which is the fungus taking over everything, and the smell will come from your hen's mouth. Other symptoms include lethargy or weight loss. Now to treat sauerkraut, you have a few options. If you want to go with conventional medicine, then you can take her to a vet, and they can prescribe antifungal medications to help rid her of the infection. If you want to treat naturally, then you can try massaging the crop to help it pass any accumulated food into your chicken's stomach. You can also try providing apple cider vinegar in a ratio of 1 tablespoon per gallon of water. The apple cider vinegar will give your chicken beneficial bacteria, which would hopefully combat the fungus. If the case is bad enough, however, you might want to speak with a vet regarding conventional medicine. To prevent sauerkraut, only give your hens fresh, healthy food and make sure that your flock's living area is clean, since one way that chickens can become infected with this fungus is by being exposed to chicken manure. It naturally occurs in their manure, and if your hen, you know, happens to pick up a piece of the manure and eat it for whatever reason, they can then become infected with this fungus. Now in the show notes, I'll put a link to an article about sauerkraut that I wrote, and it explains this disease in much more depth. Now, similar to sauerkraut is an impacted crop. Now, an impacted crop is where, for whatever reason, the crop has failed to move food from the crop and into the stomach. Impacted crop happens when there's something blocking the food from moving, you know, from the crop and into the stomach. And this could be something like plastic, long fibrous grasses, you know, it could be a lot of different things like string. Or it can happen if the normal muscular contractions of the crop don't work properly, and then the food ends up just sitting in the crop. Crop impaction can be treated by burping your chicken to try to remove the material. Another option is to have a vet perform the surgery on the crop to remove the material clogging it. I would recommend only a vet perform the surgery and refrain from doing it at home unless you really know what you're doing. Unlike sour crop, because a crop impaction is literally just a blockage, no antifungal medication should be needed, although you should confirm that with your vet. Pendulous crops are next on our list of common chicken diseases. Now, a pendulous crop is when the crop gets blocked for whatever reason, like we just talked about with impacted crop. It then begins to stretch so much that it bulges and it starts to hang. You can remember what this disease is by remembering that pendulous means hanging, so the crop is hanging. Pendulous crop is similar to an impacted crop, like we said, and it's actually pretty serious since the major organ, which is the crop, has been damaged, and it can't work in the same way that a healthy crop would, and it also has a harder time sending food into the stomach. Now, whether you can treat pendulous crop depends on the severity of the case. You can first empty the crop by burping the chicken. Now, to burp a chicken, you hold it so its head is at a 60-degree angle to the ground and massage the crop until all the contents spill onto the floor. Once relieved of the contents of the crop, you can then keep the bird warm in a quiet location and offer water for the next 24 to 48 hours to see if the crop returns to its proper size. And you're going to have to guess that just by feeling it. Then you can gradually reintroduce food if it seems that all is well. Now, in serious cases, and at the end of the day, only a qualified vet can tell you how serious your case is, but in serious cases, if there's too much damage to the crop, you may have to put the bird down because it might keep having problems with its digestive system otherwise. The crop, you know, it might not be able to work effectively ever again. But, you know, really, if you have a question about any of that, talk to a qualified vet. Now, the three crop issues we've discussed all include burping the chicken. And at this point, I want to say something about burping a bird. This is not something to be done lightly. I see it recommended a lot on the internet. It seems sort of a very flip way to respond to somebody's question, because burping a chicken is not that simple. Quite frequently, chickens will aspirate on their own vomit, so to speak, and this can lead to issues such as pneumonia and choking. So if you're going to burp your chicken, make sure you allow her to breathe between burps. If you're not sure how to do it, or you're concerned that you might not do it well, try bringing her to a qualified avian vet for their help, okay? Now, the last disease I'm going to touch on is avian influenza. And largely, you know, you may or may not come across avian influenza in your chicken keeping career, but it's been getting a lot of press, and I know some of you are concerned about it, so I wanted to address it. And yes, chickens can catch avian influenza, in case you wondered. Now, I personally have no experience with this disease, so the information below is coming from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, okay? You can recognize avian influenza by certain symptoms. Your chickens might become listless, not wanting to eat, they might have respiratory distress, diarrhea, or they might stop egg production, or you might see a loss of egg production. In severe cases, you might see facial swelling, a blue comb and wattles, and dehydration along with respiratory distress. So your chicken might have a hard time breathing, is basically what it comes down to. You might also see dark red or white spots on their legs and combs. You might see a nasal discharge that's tinged with blood, as well as an increase in production of soft shell eggs. Avian influenza is spread to backyard chickens, usually by wild birds, or if you've been exposed to an infected flock, and you might bring it home to your chickens. So good biosecurity measures will help prevent this. There's no effective treatment for avian influenza. If your chickens do come down with it, things like proper nutrition and possibly broad-spectrum antibiotics are your flock's best shot at beating it, according to the CDC. So that's this week's podcast, and I hope you now have a better idea of some of the common chicken diseases that you might come across. Now, if you're new to chickens, or maybe you're an old hand and you want to do something fun, I have a 15-day boot camp coming up called the Healthy Coop Boot Camp. You can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com, and each day you'll get an email with a video chock full of information that you need to know to raise happy, healthy chickens. If you're not sure what to do with chicks when you get them home, or when to switch feeds, or if you're interested in raising chickens naturally with things like herbs, then my boot camp is for you. My Healthy Coop Bootcamp is completely free. Again, you can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck about common chicken diseases, and I'll see you next time.